She remembered nothing of the journey back through the labyrinth of corridors and echoing chambers. It took her by surprise when she found herself once more in the cabin of the little ferry ship that had brought them up from Thalassa. Leon walked over to the controls, made a few adjustments, but did not sit down. "Goodbye, Laura," he said. "My work is done. It would be better if I stayed here." He took her hands in his, and now in the last moment they would ever have together, there were no words that she could say. She could not even see his face for the tears that blurred her vision. His hands tightened once, then relaxed. He gave a strangled sob, and when she could see clearly again, the cabin was empty. A long time later, a smooth, synthetic voice announced from the control board, "We have landed. Please leave by the forward airlock." The pattern of opening doors guided her steps, and presently she was looking out into the busy clearing she had left a lifetime ago. A small crowd was watching the ship with attentive interest, as if it had not landed 100 times before. For a moment she did not understand the reason. Then Clyde's voice roared, "Where is he? I've had enough of this." In a couple of bounds, he was up the ramp and had gripped her roughly by the arm. "Tell him to come out like a man." Laura shook her head listlessly. "He's not here," she answered. "I've said goodbye to him. I'll never see him again." Clyde stared at her disbelievingly, then saw that she spoke the truth. In the same moment, she crumpled into his arms, sobbing as if her heart would break. As she collapsed, his anger, too, collapsed within him, and all that he had intended to say to her vanished from his mind. She belonged to him again. There was nothing else that mattered now. For almost 50 hours, the geyser roared off the coast of Thalassa until its work was done. All the island watched, through the lenses of the television cameras, the shaping of the iceberg that would ride ahead of the Magellan on her way to the stars. "May the new shield serve her better," prayed all who watched, "than the one she had brought from Earth." The great cone of ice was itself protected, during these few hours while it was close to Thalassa's sun, by a paper-thin screen of polished metal that kept it always in shadow. The sunshade would be left behind as soon as the journey began. It would not be needed in the interstellar wastes. The last day came and went. Laura's heart was not the only one to feel sadness now as the sun went down and the men from Earth made their final farewells to the world they would never forget, and which their sleeping friends would never remember. In the same swift silence with which it had first landed, the gleaming egg lifted from the clearing, dipped for a moment in salutation above the village, and climbed back into its natural element. Then Thalassa waited. The night was shattered by a soundless detonation of light. A point of pulsing brilliance no larger than a single star had banished all the hosts of heaven and now dominated the sky, far outshining the pale disk of Selene and casting sharp-edged shadows on the ground, shadows that moved even as one watched. Up there on the borders of space, the fires that powered the suns themselves were burning now, preparing to drive the starship out into immensity on the last leg of her interrupted journey. Dry-eyed, Laura watched the silent glory on which half her heart was riding out toward the stars. She was drained of emotion now. If she had tears, they would come later. Was Leon already sleeping? Or was he looking back upon Thalassa, thinking of what might have been? Asleep or waking, what did it matter now? She felt Clyde's arms close around her and welcomed their comfort against the loneliness of space. This was where she belonged. Her heart would not stray again. "Goodbye, Leon. May you be happy on that far world which you and your children will conquer for mankind. But think of me sometimes, 200 years behind you on the road to Earth." She turned her back upon the blazing sky and buried her face in the shelter of Clyde's arms. He stroked her hair with clumsy gentleness, wishing that he had words to comfort her, yet knowing that silence was best. He felt no sense of victory, though Laura was his once more. Their old and innocent companionship was gone beyond recall. Leon's memory would fade, but it would never wholly die. All the days of his life, Clyde knew, the ghost of Leon would come between him and Laura. The ghost of a man who would be not one day older when they lay in their graves. The light was fading from the sky as the fury of the star drive dwindled along its lonely and unreturning road. Only once did Laura turn away from Clyde to look again at the departing ship. Its journey had scarcely begun, yet already it was moving across the heavens more swiftly than any meteor. In a few moments it would have fallen below the edge of the horizon as it plunged past the orbit of Thalassa, beyond the barren outer planets, and on into the abyss. She clung fiercely to the strong arms that enfolded her and felt against her cheek the beating of Clyde's heart. The heart that belonged to her and which she would never spurn again. Out of the silence of the night there came a sudden, long-drawn sigh from the watching thousands, and she knew that the Magellan had sunk out of sight below the edge of the world. It was all over. She looked up at the empty sky to which the stars were now returning, the stars which she could never see again without remembering Leon. But he had been right. That way was not for her. She knew now, with a wisdom beyond her years, that the starship Magellan was outward bound into history, and that was something of which Thalassa had no further part. Her world's story had begun and ended with the pioneers 300 years ago, but the colonists of the Magellan would go on to victories and achievements as great as any yet written in the sagas of mankind. Leon and his companions would be moving seas, leveling mountains, and conquering unknown perils, when her descendants, 8 generations hence, would still be dreaming beneath the sun-soaked palms. And which was better? Who could say?